Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Okay, good day to you. Happy to be here. I think we got, this is either 49 or 50. And let's check out some random tunes here, huh? We're gonna do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and we're gonna get on down the road. You know what I'm talking about? And that kind of thing. You know what I mean? This is all right. I mean, yeah. Okay. Little euphoria, huh? It's like what you kind of been waiting for, you know? And then it'll come right back. Bang. Oh, what's going on? Huh? I'm getting ready to leave for the airport literally after I get done shooting this. Heading down to SoFlo, South Florida, once again. And you know, it's becoming like a second home, you know. I just really enjoy it so much. I'm so excited to do that. Flying always really stresses me out pretty bad. I mean, I don't know if everyone else is like this or if it's just me, but my blood pressure goes up going through security at an airport, even if I'm doing nothing wrong. You know, sometimes in legal states, you can get away with flying with a little cannabis. And I've never gotten hit, but from what I know, in a legal state, if they run you through security and they find any sort of cannabis, they will, and this is just my understanding, don't shoot the messenger, especially if I don't think I'm wrong though. They find cannabis in your bag at security, and they basically just tell you to throw it away. If it's in a legal state, I can't imagine what it might look like in let's say you're trying to get it out of Tennessee. Tennessee's insanely strict with those laws, man. Like, I think it's still a felony in Tennessee if you get caught with a joint. I really do. I don't know about Alabama, but I remember Alabama used to be like that too. A little bit. You know, it's become less taboo, so maybe the laws have changed since I was hearing about them. But, you know, when I was getting ready to leave to go to college, you know, I had one of my uncles or something was like, now Clark, don't get caught with a joint down in Alabama. Don't get caught by the heavies down there smoking a joint. And I said, Uncle George, what do you mean? And he said, well, my other nephew, he got caught smoking a joint by a police officer, and he got a felony. I was like, oh, shit. Damn, Uncle George. He was like, I don't want that to be you. You know? I was like, huh, thanks, man. Appreciate that. So, some states are really strict about weed. But, you know, like, if you're running some edibles through the damn TSA in your carry-on bag, right? Heart rate goes a little bit up when you're rolling through there. You know what I mean? And there's just so many variables, dude. Like, last time I flew, I did the dumbest shit maybe in the last month. I forgot my passport. And I got this weird thing going on with Kentucky and Arizona governments, dude. It's a fucking headache. I got pulled over like 2 years ago, and the cop asked me to see my license, so I give it to him. It's a Kentucky license because I hadn't gotten it changed over to Arizona yet. I was just being lazy. You know, who the hell wants to go to fucking DMV, right? Definitely my fault. And he comes back and he's like, do you live here? And I told him the truth. I said, yeah, I got a house. He was like, well, you need to get an Arizona license with your updated address on it. And I was like, okay. And he's like, I'm going to write you a ticket for being on your phone while driving. I was on fucking Spotify, dude. But I scroll all the time when I'm driving. It's a terrible habit. So maybe I was scrolling. You know, who the hell knows? The cop was in a red Camaro, bro. Just totally undercover. And I remember it was two lane. I was getting ready to turn left at a stoplight. And this cop in a red Camaro, I didn't know he was a cop yet, was just like, obviously I was in the right lane. So I needed to get over to turn left. But this cop, he was like staying the same speed as me. He was staying parallel to me. So like I would slow down, he would slow down, stay next to me. I was like, who the fuck is this asshole? And so I thought it was just some asshole in a Camaro. So like I stepped on it, pulled over in front of him, kind of probably like a dick. And I think that was like the straw that broke the camel's back. He pulled me over. So he was like, I'm gonna hit you with driving on your phone. And I'm also going to write you a ticket for the license. But if you go to the DMV and get it switched out, we will wipe that charge. And I was like, all right, bet. Not really, because I don't want to fucking go to the DMV. But anyway, so I did it right away, bro. Like, I did it the next week. I went and got the license. And then about probably half a year ago, bro, I lost my wallet with that license in it. But Arizona does a digital driver's license. And so I was able to get that. That's still what I use, and I'll tell you why. So I go back to the DMV in Arizona to get a new physical license. I've gone back like three separate times now. And I sit down with the lady at the DMV, and she's doing her thing. You know, they even take my picture, like all this, you know, going through all this stuff. And then at the very end, they'll say, oh, apparently the state of Kentucky has like something out against you or something. And I was like, what? And they were like, yeah, if you get reported for driving without a license, if you get reported for, you know, this. So long story short, this cop in the red Camaro hit me with this thing that was supposed to get wiped. State of Kentucky saw it, and they said, oh, this guy was driving without a license. And so State of Kentucky barred me from being able to be licensed in with a driver's license in their state because of this. And so now Arizona can't give me a license because Kentucky has got this thing out against me. I don't even know how you would legally refer to this. I really don't. I don't have the terms. I don't understand it. And I try calling Kentucky and telling them what's going on. And they say, well, you know, you got to go talk to the people at ADOT in Arizona. And then I go talk to the people in Arizona, and they say, you got to talk to the people in Kentucky. And so long story short, man, I just pull up to the airport with a passport. And if I need to buy a nicotine product, I show them my digital ID. If I need to get into a bar, I show them my digital ID. And I haven't been pulled over since all this happened. So I'm sure a cop would accept it as well. But, you know, hell, maybe I should want to get pulled over so I can handle this shit with a cop, you know. Somebody that's in the trenches, kind of doing the deal. You know what I mean? So it's just one of those things. It's like one of those annoying things. So I got to pull up to the airport with a passport. And last time I flied, I had a little toke of the devil's lettuce. I was all packed up, ready to go. The Uber's on the way. And so, you know, I get a little toke. Okay. Smoke a little too much than I should have smoked, and come back into the house, and all of a sudden I'm like, all right, you know, we're gonna be gone for a week, couple weeks. This was for Christmas. So we're gonna be gone for a week, couple weeks. I'm gonna lock everything up. Okay. Lock the garage door, lock the front door, I got a screen door in front of my front door. I fucking locked that. Didn't think twice. So then we get in the Uber. I'm stoned to the gills. Okay. And I have a revelation. Passport ain't in my backpack. Start to clam up a little bit. Let the Uber driver know he's an Egyptian guy, that I need to go in the house and get something. Okay. Hop out of the car, go to the front door, it's locked. Pop the garage door open, walk up to the door in the garage, get in the house, locked. Now we're in the pressure cooker a little bit. You know what I'm saying? We're down in the crock pot and it's starting to get hot. So I play it cool. I play it really as cool as I possibly could. I get back in the car. My brother and the Uber driver's in there. They were kind of like, you good? And I was like, yeah, I'm good. Kind of internally freaking out at this point because I'm sitting here thinking, dude, airports are on butt about this ID shit. And so I better hope that they take a digital ID, bro. Because that's all I had to me. This is dumb. Let me also say this. It was a really stupid, self-inflicted situation. I'm aware of it. So finally, we pull up to the airport. Pull up to the American Airlines kiosk to get my bag checked. And finally the lady asked, you know, and I was playing the game, bro. Like, I was standing in the line, and the lady that I thought might help me, like, would look up at me and make eye contact, and I'd smile, you know, I butter her up real good. And of course, when I pull up, I'm like, "How are you? How are you? Doing all right? Oh, yeah, you know, I'm happy to be here." You know, that type of thing. And so finally she asked for my ID, and I pull my phone out with my ID on it, and I hand it to her. And she said, "Oh, baby, you got any debit cards or anything like that?" I was like, "Yeah, I got plenty of cards with my name on it." I started laying them out. She goes in her computer, starts, you know, kind of working on her thing, whatever. She looks up and she goes, "Honey, we can't accept a digital ID until May." And I was like, "Oh no, dude." It's like, you can't. So you, like, if I was here in May, like, I pulled up with this digital ID, I'd be cool. She was like, "Yeah, but you ain't cool right now. You got anything else?" And I was like, "No." You know, and I told her the truth. I was like, I left my passport at home, you know, kind of locked myself out, did something stupid. She was like, "Okay, well, we can send you upstairs to, you know, some sort of like different type of security." And I was like, "Just so you know, my flight's boarding in like 30 minutes." And she stopped her. She's like, "Oh, baby, that ain't gonna work." Yeah, that ain't gonna work. Hey, you know what I mean? And so she took care of me, man. She was like, I got a 425. I'm gonna put you on there. I'm not gonna charge you anything extra. Go home and get your passport." And so I got an Uber home. I call up a locksmith on the way home. I said, "Hey, this is my situation. What can you do? I need you in 30 minutes. He was like, "I'm there." I was like, "Bet. It'll take me about 30 minutes to get home from the airport." Locksmith it out, get it handled. But yeah, man, it's just, you know, and a lot of the airport stuff for me is self-inflicted. I don't know why, but you know, like, even with this, like, I'm staring at the timestamp every time to make sure that, you know, I'm gonna be pulling up in good time, but we're gonna be plenty early today, so it ain't no thing. But, you know, flying, it's just, there's a lot of uncertainty to it, man. Like, and there, dude, I've had some fucking, like, that story is one thing that happened recently, dude, like 1 or 2 years ago. So I take my dog Jasper on every flight. A lot of the times we fly together because, you know, I like to bring him, and he's got the documentation and the certification that he's able to go on planes with me. And this is my first time telling this story. We got off the plane in Phoenix about a year and a half, 2 years ago, something like that. And I think we were coming from Kentucky. So it's like a 4-hour flight from Lexington or Cincinnati to Phoenix. And I don't know what I did with Jasper that day. Maybe I fed him and I shouldn't have fed him or something. But, bro, this damn dog, if he feels carpet under his paws, I guess it reminds him of grass or something. because one time we were at the MGM, and I'm getting somewhere. Trust me, I'm getting somewhere. One time at the I took Jasper to Las Vegas, Nevada. Not the best place for a dog. It was like Christmas, like 3 or 4 years ago, and I had just moved out here, and I guess it didn't work out to like, maybe it was like a couple days before Christmas, and then I like went home, or my parents, family came out here, but it was like December 22nd, 23rd. I was just like, fuck it, dude, I'm gonna drive 4 hours, I'm gonna go to Vegas, I'm gonna hit the poker tables, you know, just kind of a little, you know, treat yourself kind of couple of days, right? And so obviously, you know, we stayed at the MGM Grand, and obviously most casinos, if not all of them, in order to get to your room, you got to walk through the casino floor. It's set up that way so that you stop and gamble. This carpet must have, like, either Jasper was pissed off at me or he really had to go to the bathroom or something, but we were walking across that damn casino floor and he starts curving his back, trying to sit down, you know what I mean? Not sit down, like, you know what I mean? Like, his shit was starting to, you know, open up, right? And I said, fuck no, no, no. 8 million cameras in that bitch. We would have never been allowed back in that joint. I let him shit on that casino floor, bro. So, that story is to paint the picture of what could have happened versus what ended up happening. So, we get off this four-hour flight in Phoenix. We just got back from, I believe, Cincinnati. Four-hour flight. And I guess the lad had a full stomach. I guess the lad had processed a lot of... He'd worked up some damn, you know, his intestines were full. My heart rate's literally spiking talking about this, but it's objectively, it's fucking hilarious. There's like a, what do you call it? There's like an atrium that connects all the gates in the Phoenix airport. So, you know, you obviously get off the gate, you walk through, and then there's like a little atrium with, like, you know, those electric walkways that kind of connect the different, you know, A, B, whatever. I don't know if you call them terminals or gates. And the floors are carpet. And we had just gotten off a four-hour flight. And a lot of times when we get off a flight, we'll hit a brisk jog after a long one to get him outside. Don't remember if we did much jogging on this particular trip, but dog felt carpet under his feet, and he squatted down, and before I knew it, a bunch of shit came out of him right there in front of hundreds of people. Hundreds. It's the most fucking embarrassing thing I've ever been through, bro. And this dog did not stop shitting. He would not stop shitting. And it was liquid and it was covering about 50 square feet, bro. That's an exaggeration. But I'm telling you, I wish y'all could see the size of this table. I've, at least from what I remember, the embarrassment might have magnified the moment. But this 55-pound dog let out three times as much shit as I probably could have produced. I mean, this kid was holding some seventh-level hell demons up in them intestines, boy. And he just let it go. And I just had to stand there in front of hundreds of people and just let my dog shit in the middle of the Phoenix airport. And it wasn't no, like, you know, like, you get the picture, bro. It wasn't no, like, you know, pick up, we're good. It was like that kind of deal. And dude, I'm just like, I'm in full fight or flight mode. Like, heart rate's on probably 160, 170. And, you know, these are like the type of situations where you gotta like decide in real time, like, what the fuck am I gonna do here? I gotta, you know, because if I just stand here by this pile of shit, like, and some official comes up to me or whatever, someone, an employee of the establishment comes up to me, like, man, they could blacklist my ass, they could do this, they could do that, you know, that kind of thing. It's long enough ago, I feel comfortable talking about it too. And I really do feel bad. It's not something that's even close to ever remotely happened again. I don't feed that dog on travel days. He's been fucking bugging me all morning to eat. And, you know, he can't, because I ain't letting something like that happen again. You know what I mean? I just ain't. I don't got time. I don't need that in my life. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, like, you know, I made a decision. I was like, okay, what can we do? Like, I start speed walking with him. I just, you know, just ditch the pile of shit, speed walk. I'm like, okay. Like, maybe we could pop into a bathroom and grab a bunch of like paper towels, like, you know, something, like, just get real ratchet. And, you know, I was already embarrassed as hell, so I was like, shit, like, it ain't gonna be much more embarrassment to, like, you know, walk down the concourse to a bathroom, get a shit ton of paper towels, and just try and help out a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, something. And we're walking, we keep walking, no bathrooms in sight. I ain't got any poo bags in my backpack. Like, that would have helped, dude. It was literally liquid. And walking, no bathrooms. Keep walking, speed walking. No bathrooms. Get far enough down, and I see the baggage claim sign in the escalator. And I was like, oh, shit. Now we just got to go down and wait for our bag and play it cool, man. You know, I didn't know what else to do. You know, my ex, she was pulling up to get me. And I just texted her, and I was like, you know, door 4 south, like, ASAP. You know? Because I didn't know. Like, I, you know, there's obviously cameras in that joint. Like, I didn't know if they had people, like, monitoring that shit 24/7. You know, if they picked up my face, if they picked up the dog, if they picked up my outfit, and, like, they were, you know, on the hunt for me at that point, because they probably thought I was just some asshole that, you know, let my dog shit and then just, like, carried on like nothing happened. And that's kind of what I had to do, because there was no means to, like, clean it up, you know, at all. And then I'm thinking, like, you know, like I said, can I get blacklisted from this airport? Like, you know, is this gonna be an issue type of thing? And ended up getting the bag, getting outside, popping in the car, and I've come back to that same atrium a number of times, and someone had to clean it up, and I feel pretty bad, but you know, it's just shit that happens. But it's clean now. There ain't no shit there. So that's good. But yeah, man. So, like, traveling is always just kind of, you know, there's always a chance that something crazy like that pops off, you know. And so at least my heart rate reflects that. And then 9 times out of 10, you get through security, you know, the dog doesn't shit. They accept your ID because you remembered it. And it's all good. It's all good. You know, like I got a meeting at noon today that I'm going to try and take up in that Admiral's Club. You know what I mean? And so I'm going to get there real early, get settled in nice, eat some good food up there. So most of the time, you know, it's pretty stress free, but it ends up being stress free. You know, when you're going through all of it, you know, when you're pulling up and you're going through security and you're wondering if you're a little too late, you're wondering if your bag's going to be a smidge overweight, you're wondering if, you know, the agent lady's going to be nice to you, you're wondering if the, you know, there's like all these variables, you know. And then obviously you got to be on time, and sometimes I run on rapper time, dude. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I run on rapper time. You know, that's apparently a real thing with artists, is rapper time. You know, like you set up an interview with the artist or something, like it's just customary that they're going to be 30 minutes to an hour late or something. It's kind of fire. But I mean, the respect in other people's time is important, you know, so maybe that's not fire. But, you know, I've struggled to get to the, I just don't, you'd think all the damn borderline traumatic things that happened to me traveling, the couple stories that I've told, like, that I would be a little more on point. And I think we're on point today. I really do. You know, just got to make sure that, that we wrap this episode up, within an hour. But, you know, and even then, bro, like I scheduled out my morning, like I gave myself a lot of buffer this morning. So I think it should be cool. But yeah, travel, you know what I mean? And I'm sure there's ways to, you know, make it more enjoyable. Obviously, like, comment, and subscribe on the show so that maybe one day we could fly private. You know what I mean? That'd be pretty fire. That's a shameless ask right there. What else? I mean, dude, here's the thing about the AFC and NFC championship games. Philadelphia is a really well-rounded team, and they obviously kicked the shit out of Washington in the championship round. You know, Washington just turned it over too much. That's all. It, you know, and you saw that same kind of story in the divisional round with Baltimore, like, Washington just turned it over too much, you know. And Philadelphia is a good team, top to bottom. I don't think Daniels played bad. I really don't. You know, their receivers made some plays. McLaurin made some plays. Washington was playing soft coverage the whole first part of the game. And then you get to this play, I can't remember what quarter it was, probably second or third quarter, where you got Marshon Lattimore, who's a great player, in one-on-one coverage with A.J. Brown. And I think it was third and five. So Lattimore thought that, I think Lattimore was betting on Brown running like a slant or a drag, or something like that, because he was all of a sudden, you know, they've been playing softer coverage all game. All of a sudden, Lattimore was up pressing him on this play, and the offensive coordinator for the Eagles, Kellen Moore, just dialed up a great call. Jalen Hurts makes a great throw, and Brown ends up beating Lattimore by a step or two on a go route, and Hurts just drops it in there, catches the ball, touchdown. And I think that play kind of changed the game. And I understand where defensively Washington was coming from strategically. It's third and five. Like, you'd think that they would probably go underneath, and, you know, because they've been playing soft coverage all game. But I think Lattimore probably made it pretty clear that he was pressing up front. So maybe that was an adjustment that Jalen Hurts and Kellen Moore made before the snap. You know what I mean? But, yeah, Washington turned it over too much. Philly's a good team. We got a replay of, I believe, the 23 Super Bowl that occurred here in Phoenix. And, I mean, on the AFC side, okay, there is a lot of discourse on X about whether the Chiefs get preferential treatment by the officiating crews or not. And on Sunday, it was overwhelmingly a ton of people talking about the fourth and one that Josh Allen didn't get. It's still being discussed as we're shooting this. I'm sure I could go on Twitter and literally pull up endless discussions about this fourth and one. You know, people were saying that's an example, and then, you know, there's this, all of a sudden, this wave of Chiefs fans, led by Nick Wright, who has referred to himself in his sports journalism career before as a WWE character, right? So I think the guy tries to be a heel a lot in how he talks about things. He's a Chiefs guy, and, you know, he just posts these long rants about how, you know, maybe your team should do better, and you know, this team, Julian Edelman has kind of said the same stuff. And I think it's because he sees a lot of the Patriots dynasty and what's going on with the Chiefs. But, you know, Julian Edelman's like, you know, make a few more plays. These guys are situationally sharp. And Nick Wright's kind of just, you know, spewing nonsense. But, you know, it sounds informed, what he's saying. And listen, you know, there are some Samford University alumni on the Chiefs, a couple of guys that were not teammates of mine, but teammates of a lot of friends. So obviously, dude, like, I want to see those guys eat. I want to see those guys get another ring. But as a fan, it's really hard to root for the Chiefs, especially, you know, as a Cincinnati Bengals fan. So, you know, like, the Chiefs hate, it's fun and all, but I think the fact of the matter is that the NFL, we've talked about this on the show too, the NFL needs to bring in this digital measurement system for good and make it a real thing. Because I thought Josh Allen got the first down. And people are going to argue about it until literally the next Super Bowl, I feel like, about the spot of that play. And a lot of people think, myself kind of included, that Dalton Kincaid got the first down on the third down the play before. Some people think that the Dalton Kincaid first down, or the Dalton Kincaid catch on third down, was more of a first down than the fourth down. And the fourth down might have been a first down. But I don't know, man. I just think back to that Chiefs-Bengals game, I believe it was the AFC title in 2022, where the Chiefs had third and nine. They run the play. The Bengals get the stop. And then whatever that fucking ref's name starts conferencing with all these folks and comes back and said, oh, we blew the play dead before third down, so we're going to – you know, the Kansas City literally had their punt team out there. And then the ref comes up and says, we blew the play dead before third down, so we're going to replay third down. And then they obviously get the first down, and they close out the game. So you think back, dude,
You think back to that series of events, and you understand why Bengals fans have been saying this for years. Now it's cool nationally to talk about the Chiefs and the refs, but where was that stream of people back when I when that happened, I believe, in 2022? I think that's a telltale sign that, dude, like, it's literally, like, they were literally given a redo into that in the 2022, I believe, AFC Championship game.
Or maybe it was, I can't remember what year it was. Because there was I guess the Bengals Super Bowl, I can't remember the years right now. I don't have my chronological head on straight. But you guys watching this, you're football fans. You remember the year the Bengals made it to the Super Bowl, and the game in which this happened that I just mentioned happened the year after that, because the Bengals made it back to the AFC Championship. And that's what happened. So I don't know, man. It's really hard for me to believe that the NFL doesn't have an interest in the Chiefs winning because of she who shall not be named sitting up in the box getting all this TV time with Caitlin Clark and their flashing devil horns. I saw a fucking conspiracy video on that the other day. The guy's like, the rigged NFL is pushing woke ideology and evil, whatever the fuck. see Caitlin Clark and Taylor Swift showing devil horns at the same time as the TV pans to them. You don't think that the NFL's peddling woke evil ideology, do you? It's kind of fire. It's kind of fire. But it's like, dude, like, I don't know. I think the NFL does have an interest in having Taylor Swift on the TV a bunch. So, you know, I don't know, man. I think the NFL's gotten to where they've gotten for a reason. It's a competitive league. It's a fun sport. And you got a lot of good personalities and sprinkled throughout the game, you know, over the years. But, I mean, damn. Anyone tries it, like, it's basically Chiefs fans and then Chiefs fans arguing that, you know, this is not the way it is. And then the rest of everybody saying, no, no. And so, I guess my experiential opinion on it stems from that third down do-over in the AFC Championship game with my Bengals. And maybe that's why us Bengals fans have such a chip on our shoulder about all of it, because, number one, our team's disappointing as hell, or it was this year. And, you know, I think Bengals fans have just kind of been on this train of like, yeah, the Chiefs kind of get a few pivotal calls when they need them. I think the Bengals fans have been on that train for a lot longer than the rest of the folks peddling that narrative nationally have been. So, I mean, it sucks when your team's not in it. Like, I know the Bengals could be in the mix right now. Like, I know we had the team to make it to the Super Bowl this year. Like, Joe Burrow's the only active quarterback to beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. Obviously Brady did it before he retired. And I don't know where this Bengals organization is headed. You know, seeing news clippings the last couple of weeks that Hamilton County in Ohio is squabbling with the Bengals ownership family about the stadium lease. And I, dude, I worked for a dumpster fire organization in the Arizona Coyotes. And sure enough, Coyotes left Phoenix because they were squabbling with the arena. What happens? What goes into that? How is that a reflection of an organization? From what I've seen, when you have an owner who is egocentric, okay, and when you have an owner that thinks that nobody can tell him shit, he's pretty hard to deal with. They're pretty hard to deal with. And I think the Brown family is pretty egocentric. You know, their grandfather or Mike Brown's father was, you know, one of the granddaddies of the whole sport. I get it. But you can still write your own story. You don't have to, you know. I guess what I'm saying is that I don't think Mike Brown is a builder. I think that Mike Brown is kind of a coattail rider. And I think when he got his daughters involved, and then his daughter marries a guy and he gets involved in the organization, I think that egocentricism, warranted or not, it's not warranted, got even more exaggerated. So now you've got Mike Brown's daughter, Katie, who married Troy Blackburn. Troy and Katie Blackburn. And Mike Brown has entrusted the majority, from what I understand, of the duties of an owner in his old age to his daughter and his daughter's husband. And apparently, Katie and Troy Blackburn are not easy people to deal with. Andrew Whitworth told a story about it. A famed offensive tackle in Bengals history told a story about it. He ended up leaving Cincinnati because after all he did for the organization, Katie and Troy Blackburn basically treated him like he was nothing when it was time to come and sign an extension. And he got sick of it. Whitworth did. And so now we're seeing headlines from Cincinnati's de facto GM, Duke Tobin. Duke Tobin, on paper, is not even technically the GM. Mike Brown still is. Mike Brown in his old age is apparently not very involved in the organization day to day, as he once was. So you've got Duke Tobin as the face, but even he, after the season concluded, wouldn't take questions from the media. Somebody from the Cincinnati Inquirer finally got the chance to talk to him, and they asked him about Trey Hendrickson, the literal NFL sack leader, arguably the best defensive end in the game right now. I can't remember the exact quote, and my computer's not open, so I can't pull it up. But Duke Tobin had a very discouraging tone when talking about re-signing Trey Hendrickson. And a lot of Bengals fans on X are like, dude, there are some Bengals fans on X that really get on my nerves because they're complete apologists for whatever the organization does. Well, you know, Zach Taylor, he was just, you know, working with what he had, and the front office is making all the best decisions they can. Fuck that. They're not. They're not, dude. And so Duke Tobin comes out, I believe, you know, he's asked about Trey Henderson's contract, and he's like, I don't want to misquote him, but you know, something like, you know, he's
he's going to deserve a lot of money, and we're going to do what we can,
or something. It's like a real downtrodden way of saying it. And so, just based on what I've heard about the Bengals organization, it seems like winning negotiations, I'm talking about the Blackburns here, because they're the ones calling the shots on paying these guys. It's not really Mike Brown anymore. It's Mike Brown's daughter, okay, and her husband, who I believe was like a fucking lawyer before or something like this. Like, it's fucking insane. These guys, these folks at the Bengals front office, they care about winning. Winning negotiations is number one. They'd rather win negotiations than win football games. That's ego. You know what I'm saying? That's ego. And so what's it going to do for your ego when you waste literally one of the best, at this phase of his career, one of the best quarterbacks, the best quarterback Cincinnati's ever seen. It's not even close. Probably the best receiver Cincinnati's ever seen. That's really not close. And you have a you have a guy on the other side of the ball that leads the league in sacks, and he's been top three, top five for like a couple of years. Dude, I don't know if I would trust the Bengals to re-sign one of these guys, and they got to pay all three: T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Trey Hendrickson. I don't know if I would trust the Cincinnati Bengals to re-sign one of those guys. And in order to, like, the right thing is to keep all three. But I just don't know if I trust this organization to do the right thing at all. I really don't. I really don't. And I hope I'm wrong. I pray to God I'm wrong. But if I'm right, I won't be a bit surprised if they just blow this whole thing up. And then it will be really hard for me to be able to support these folks after that. I grew up in Lexington, Kentucky, man. My first memories of football are watching Carson Palmer and Chad Johnson and TJ Houshmandzadeh and, you know, Odell Thurman. Shane Graham. You know, I freaking love that city. I love that organization. But it's like, dude, if I have to start watching Reds baseball every night, I'm going to do that. Because I can't, this organization, time and time again recently, has just proven to me how incompetent they are. And nepotism's a hell of a thing, man. Like, I work in a family business, but I know that you can approach it with any mentality you want. You can be a builder. You can be a destroyer. You can be a status quoer, you know. And I don't know what Katie and Troy Blackburn fall under. I really don't. Okay, we're at 52 minutes, 53 minutes. I gotta go, man. I really gotta go. So, let's... What is this? Praise God, baby. All right. That was kind of fire. Praise God, baby. Gang. Just copy all the things that Theo Von says. All right. This is winding down. All right. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe on the video. Pound that button, please, God, for me, baby boy. And if you stayed this long, thank you for being here. We're going to keep coming. No Diddy. See y'all.